Once Art was docked and the transit ring's bot-piloted tugs were removing the cargo modules, it cycled the lock for me, and I slipped through into the embarkation zone. It had given me access to its comm so it could ride my feed through the transit ring. It claimed it could help me, and while I was skeptical of that, it could at least keep me company. As I walked away from the safety of Art's lock, I dropped back down to 96% efficiency. I hit the station entertainment feeds for new downloads to try to calm down. I'd already sent a message to the social feed node about the advertisement and gotten an answer with a location and a timestamp. The last time I'd had an arranged meeting with humans, they kidnapped Mensa and blew me up. So, this could hardly be worse. I hacked my way through embarkation zone security and out into the ring's mall. It was utilitarian compared to both the last transit ring and port free commerce. No garden pods, no hollow sculptures, no big hollow displays advertising arrays of shipwrights and cargo factors and other businesses. No shiny new interface vending machines. Also, no big passenger transports coming through, so not nearly as big a crowd of humans or bots. Art's idea was beginning to seem less like a stupid risk and more like a necessity. Blending in here would be harder if everyone was only here on their way to and from the installations on the moon.
I told you so.
The location for the meeting was a food service place in the main mall area. It was in a large transparent bubble in the second level of the mall, overlooking the walkways and counter service stalls below. There were multiple open levels inside, with tables and chairs, and was 40% full of humans and augmented humans. As I walked through, I picked up the occasional buzz of a drone, but no pings. There were food smells in the air, and the acrid scents of intoxicants. I didn't bother to try to analyze and identify them. I was too nervous and trying to focus on looking like an augmented human. The humans I was to meet had sent an image so I could find them. There were three of them, all wearing variations on work clothes, no uniform logos. A quick search had shown entries for them in the Transit Ring social feed. They had listed themselves as unaffiliated guest workers, but you could list yourself as anything. There was no identity check. Two were female, and one was Tercera, which was a gender-signified user in the group of non-corporate political entities known as the Divardi Cluster. To initiate the meeting, I'd had to make an entry on the social feed, too. The system was extremely vulnerable to hacking, so I had backdated my entry to look like I had come in on an earlier passenger transport, listed my job as security consultant, and my gender as indeterminate. Posing as its own captain, Art gave me a prior employment reference. I spotted them at a table near the bubble overlooking the mall. They were having a tense, whispered conversation, and body language said they were nervous. As I walked toward them, my quick scan showed no weapon signatures, just the small power sources of their personal feed interfaces. One had an implant, but it was just a low-level feed access tool. I had practiced this part with Art on approach to the ring, recording myself so both of us could critique it. I told myself I could do this. I put on my best neutral expression, the one I used when the extra download activity had been detected and the deployment center supervisor was blaming the human techs for it. I walked up to the table. Hello. All three of them flinched.
Hello.
I picked up the feed from the security camera so I could watch myself and make sure my facial expressions were under control. And it was easier to talk to humans while watching them through the cameras. I was well aware it was a completely false sensation of distance from the situation, but I needed it.
We arranged to meet. I'm Eden, the security consultant.
Right, so it was the name of one of the characters in Sanctuary Moon. You probably aren't surprised by that. The Tercera had purple hair and red eyebrows, standing out against light brown skin.
I'm Rami. That's Tapan and Mero.
Rami shifted nervously and tapped the empty chair. Art, who was considerably faster than me at data retrieval, performed a quick search and informed me it was an invitation to sit down across several human cultural indices. It was giving me the etymology of the gesture as I sat down. You would think a sec unit who had been shot to pieces multiple times, blown up, memory purged, and once partially dismantled by accident wouldn't be on the verge of panic under these circumstances. You'd be wrong.
I'm not sure where to start.
Tapan nudged her, apparently conveying moral support. Tapan had multicolored braids wrapped up around her head, and a blue jeweled-toned interface clipped to her ear, and slightly darker skin than Rami. Mero had very dark skin, and silver-colored little puffs of hair, and was almost beautiful enough to be in the entertainment media. I'm terrible at estimating human ages because it's not one of the few things I care about. Also, most of my experience is with the humans on the entertainment feed, and they aren't anything like the ones you see in reality. One of the reasons I'm not fond of reality. But I thought all three might be young,
Not children, but maybe not that far from adolescence. They stared at me, and I realized I was going to have to help.
You want to hire a security consultant?
This was what they had posted on the social feed, and from the number of similar requests, it was common for groups of individuals to hire private security before going to Ravi Hyrule. I guess hiring human security guards is what you do when you can't afford real security.
Yes, we need help.
Mero threw a look around.
We shouldn't talk here, maybe? Is there someplace else we could go?
It had been stressful enough getting here. I didn't want to have to go anywhere else right now. I did a quick scan for drones, then initiated a glitch in the connection between the restaurant and transit ring security. I caught the cameras and showed Art what I wanted it to do. It took over and edited me out of the system's recording and cut the camera watching the table out of the system. I unglitched the connection to the ring's main security, which wouldn't notice the missing camera feed for the short time we would be here.
It's all right. We're not being recorded.
But there's security. Did you do something?
I'm a security consultant.
My panic level was starting to drop, primarily because they were so obviously nervous. Humans are nervous of me because I'm a terrifying murder bot, and I'm nervous of them because they're humans. But I knew that humans could also be wary and nervous of each other in non-combat and non-adversarial situations, in reality, and not just as part of a story. That was what seemed to be happening, but it let me pretend this was business as usual, doing one of the rare occasions when clients asked my advice about security. Part of my job as a sec unit was to give clients advice when they asked for it, as I was theoretically the one with all the information on security. Not that a lot of them had asked for it, or had listened to me. Not that I'm bitter about that, or anything.
So you're spliced, right?
Tapan patted the back of her neck, indicating where my data port was.
You got augments? You have extra access to the feed?
Yes, among other things.
Mero looked impressed.
I don't know if we can afford... Our credit account is... If we can get our data back, then...
Then we would have plenty to pay you.
Art, who was apparently very interested in the job scenario, started to search the public feeds for a pay scale for private security consultants. I reminded myself that I was pretending not to be a sec unit, so me questioning them wouldn't seem out of the ordinary. I decided to start with the basic information. Why do you want to hire me? Rami looked at the other two, got nods in response.
We were working on Ravi Hyrule for Talasi Excavations, one of the smaller Umro contractors. We do mineral research and technology development.
T explained that they were a collective of technologists, seven of them, plus dependents, who traveled from work contract to work contract. The others were waiting in a hotel suite, with Rami, Mero, and Tapan having been deputized to act for the group. It was a relief to hear that their mining experience was in tech and research. In the mining contracts I had had, the techs were usually in offices off the pit site or adjacent to it, and we didn't see them unless they got intoxicated and tried to kill each other. Which admittedly was rare.
Talasi's terms were great, but maybe too great if you know what I mean.
We took the contract because it would give us time to work on our own stuff. We'd had this idea to develop a new detection system for strange synthetics. Ravi Hyrule has a lot of identified deposits, so it's a great place for research.
Strange synthetics were elements left behind by alien civilizations. Telling the difference between them and naturally occurring elements that were previously unidentified was a problem in mining. Like the remnants of alien occupation / civilization uncovered by Graycris on my last contract, they were off limits for commercial development. That was all I'd ever needed to know, since every job I'd ever had involving alien material was just me standing around guarding the people who were working on it. Art tried to explain it to me, and I told it to save it for later. I needed to focus.
We were making good progress, but then suddenly our group got terminated with no notice and they took our data.
All our work. It wasn't anything to do with our contract.
Talasi stole it, basically, and they deleted the most current version off our devices. We had copies of the older iterations, but we've lost all our recent work.
We filed a complaint with Umro, but it's taking forever to process it, and we don't know if it's ever going to come to anything.
This sounds like something you should go to a solicitor about.
We thought about a solicitor, but we aren't in the union, so it would be expensive. But then yesterday, Talasi finally answered our petition and said we could have the files back if we returned our signing bonus. We have to go down to Ravi Hyrule to do that. That's why we wanted to hire you.
You don't trust Talasi.
We just want somebody on our side.
No, we definitely don't trust Talasi. Not at all. We need security for when we get there if things get touchy. Talesi herself is supposed to meet us, and she has an entourage of bodyguards. And there's no general security except what Umro has in the public areas in the port. And that's not much.
I didn't know exactly what she thought she meant by touchy, but all the scenarios I could imagine that situation weren't good ones. The company offered sec units so the clients didn't have to hire humans to guard each other. From what I had seen in the serials, me doing a half-assed version of my job was still better than a human trying to do it. I was still watching us through the captured security camera, even though I wasn't allowing it to record. I could see my expression was dubious, but in this case, I think the situation warranted it. The meeting with Talesi could be held through a secured comm channel.
Yeah, but Talesi wants to do it in person.
We know it doesn't sound like a good idea to go.
It was a great idea to go if you wanted to be murdered. I had hoped for an easier job, courier duty, or something similar. But this was protecting humans who were determined to do something dangerous, which was exactly the kind of job I was designed for. The job that I had kept doing more or less, often as less as possible, even after I had hacked my governor module. I was used to having something useful to do, taking care of something, even if it was only a contractually obligated group of humans who, if I was lucky, treated me like a tool and not a toy. After Preservation Aux, it had occurred to me how different it would be to do my job as an actual member of the group I was protecting. And that was the main reason I was here.
So, do you think there's another reason Talesi wants you to do this exchange in person, other than killing you?
T'Pon grimaced, as if that was something she had been aware of, but trying not to think about. Mero tapped the table and pointed at me, which was vaguely alarming, until Art identified it as a gesture of emphatic agreement.
We weren't finished. Our process was incomplete, but we were so enthusiastic about it. We think they must have listened in using the security feeds and heard us talking and thought we were much further along than we actually were, so I don't know if they can complete it. Maybe they realized it's not worth much without us to finish it.
Maybe Talesi wants us to work for her again?
Probably before she murders you, I didn't say.
I would rather live in a box in a station mall than work for her again.
Once they had started to talk about it, it was hard for them to stop. The collective was completely divided on what to do, which was apparently painful for all of them since they were used to agreeing on everything. T'Pon, who according to Mero was too naive for this existence, thought it was worth a try. Mero, who according to T'Pon was a cynical impediment to both fun and progress, though they were screwed and should just cut their losses. Rami was undecided, which is why T had been elected leader of the collective for the duration of this problem. Rami did not seem thrilled by the collective's confidence, but was gamely trying to proceed.
So that's why we want to hire you. We thought it would be better to go in with someone who could protect us, keep her crew from messing with us, show her we have backup while we negotiate.
What they needed was a security company willing to bond them for the meeting and return trip, and send a sec unit with them to guarantee their safety. But security companies like that are expensive, and wouldn't be interested in a job this small. They all stared at me worriedly. In the security camera view, from that angle, it was obvious how small they were. They looked so soft, with all the fluffy multicolored hair. And nervous, but not of me. I accept your job.
How much do we pay you? Can we afford you, I mean?
Art had a set of spreadsheets ready, but I didn't want to scare them off with a figure that was too high.
How much were they paying you before you were terminated?
It's 200 CRs per cycle for each worker for the limited term of contract.
You can pay me that.
One cycle's share of the contract? Really?
Her reaction meant I'd ask for far too little, but it was too late to correct the mistake. I did need to give them a reason why I was willing to settle for a small amount, and I decided the partial truth was better.
I need to go to Ravi Hyrule, and I need an employment contract to get there.
Why? I mean, I know we don't have a right to ask, but...
Don't have a right to ask? That wasn't something that had ever applied to me before Preservation Aux.
I need to do some research there for another client.
Like Art, they understood the idea of research, especially proprietary research, and they didn't ask any further questions. Rami told me they were scheduled to leave for Ravi Hyrule during the next cycle, and said T would put in the request for the private employment voucher. I arranged to meet them in the mall near the access for the shuttle embarkation zone, and then left. I released the security camera as soon as I was out of range. I got back to Art and huddled in my favorite chair and we watched episodes for the next 3 hours while I calmed down. Art monitored the transit ring's alert feed in case someone had realized what I was, but there was nothing.
I told you so.
I ignored it. I hadn't been detected, so now it was time to think about the rest of the plan, which now involved keeping my new clients alive. I met them at the embarkation zone. I had the knapsack, which was part of my human disguise, but the only important thing I was carrying was the comm interface from Art. It would allow us to communicate once I was down on Ravi Hyrule and let me continue to have access to Art's knowledge bases and unsolicited opinions. I was used to having a hub system and a sec system for backup, and Art would be taking their place, without the part where those two systems were partially designed to rat me out to the company and trigger punishment through the governor module. Art's freedom to weigh in on everything I did was punishment enough. I had inserted the comm interface in a built-in compartment under my ribs. All three of my clients were waiting, each with a small bag or pack, since hopefully they would only be staying a couple cycles. I hung back until they finished saying goodbye to the other members of their collective. They all looked worried. The collective was listed in their social feed as a group marriage. All had 5 children of various sizes. Once the others had left, and Rami, Mero, and Tapan were alone, I came forward.
Talasi bought us passage on a public shuttle. That could be a good sign, right?
Sure. It was a terrible sign. The employment voucher got me through into the embarkation zone, and there was no weapon scan. Ravi Hyrule allowed private weapons and had a low security presence in public areas, which was one reason small groups of humans needed to hire private security consultants to go there. We all started toward the shuttle's lock.
Can you scan the shuttle for energy anomalies without transit ring security detecting the activity?
No, but I'll tell it I'm running scanning diagnostics and testing systems. No anomalies. 90% match to factory specs.
That was normal, and it meant if there was an explosive device, it was inert at the moment, buried somewhere inside the hull. 5 other guest workers waited to board, and my scan read no energy signatures. They had stuffed packs and bags, indicating packing for a long-term stay. I let them board first, then slid in front of Mero and went through the lock, scanning as I went. The shuttle was bot-driven, and the only crew was one augmented human who seemed only there to check employment vouchers and shuttle passes. She looked at me.
There's only supposed to be 3 of you.
I didn't answer, being in the middle of wrestling the security system for control. It was an entirely separate system from the bot pilot, which was non-standard for the shuttles I was used to.
This is our security consultant.
I had control of Shuttle Sexus and deleted its attempt to alert the bot pilot and the crew member to the fact that it was compromised. The crew member frowned, checking the voucher again, but didn't argue. We went on into the compartment where the other passengers were getting seated. They were stowing their possessions or talking quietly. I hadn't eliminated them as potential threats, but their behavior was lowering the probability at a steady rate. I took a seat next to Rami as my clients got settled and pinged Art again.
I'm scanning for targeting anomalies, and situation is currently clear.
It meant it couldn't see anything on the moon aiming at us. If that was the plan, it wouldn't happen until we were underway. If somebody fired at the transit ring from the moon's surface, I was pretty sure that would be a huge deal, and there would be legal ramifications, if not immediate violent retaliation by ring security.
If they fire at us en route, it's not like we can do anything about it.
Art didn't answer, but I knew it well enough by now to know that meant something.
You don't have a weapon system.
There hadn't been one on the schematics. At least the schematics that Art made available on its unsecured feed.
Do you?
I have a debris deflection system.
There was only one way to deflect debris. I had never been on an armed ship, but I knew they were subject to a whole different level of licensing and bond agreements. If one of them accidentally shoots something it's not supposed to, somebody has to pay for the damage.
You have a weapon system.
For debris deflection.
I was starting to wonder just what kind of university owned Art. Rami was watching me worriedly.
Is everything okay?
I nodded and tried to look neutral. Tapan leaned past her.
Are you in the feed? I can't find you.
I'm on a private channel with a friend in the ring who's monitoring the shuttle's departure. Just making sure everything's okay. They nodded and sat back. The shuttle uncoupled from the ring and started to move. I cozied up to the bot pilot. It was a limited function model, not nearly as complex as even a standard transport driver bot. I had the shuttle sexus tell it I was authorized by ring security, and it pinged me cheerfully. The crew member was sitting in the cockpit with it, using her feed to catch up on admin tasks and read her social feed download, but there was no human pilot aboard. I leaned back in my seat and relaxed a little. Media was tempting, and from the echoes I could pick up in the feed, that's what most of the humans were doing. But I wanted to keep monitoring the bot pilot. This may seem overcautious, but that's how I was built. Then 24 minutes, 47 seconds into the flight, as we were on approach, the BA pilot died as Killware flooded its system. It was gone before Shuttle Sexsys or I could react. I flung up a wall around us both, and the Killware bounced off. I saw it register task complete and then destroy itself. Oh shit.
Art!
I used Shuttle Sexsys to grab the controls. We needed the course correction in 7.2 seconds. The crew member, jolted out of her feed by the alarms, stared at the board in horror, then hit the emergency beacon. She couldn't fly a shuttle. I can fly hoppers and other upper atmosphere aircraft, but I had never been given the education module for shuttles or other space-going vehicles. I nudged Shuttle Sexsys, hoping for help, and it set off all the cabin alarms. Yeah, that didn't help.
Let me in.
I had never given Art full access to my brain. I had let it alter my body, but not this. We had 3 seconds and counting. My clients. The other humans on the shuttle. I let it in. It was like the sensation humans describe in books as having their heads shoved underwater. Then it was gone, and Art was in the shuttle, using my connection with Shuttle Sexsys to leap into the void left by the erased bot. Art flowed into the controls, made the course correction, and adjusted our speed, then picked up the landing beacon and guided the shuttle into approach on the main Ravi Hyrule port. The crew member had just managed to hail Port Authority and was still hyperventilating. Port Authority had the ability to upload emergency landing routines, but the timing had been too tight. Nothing they could have done would have saved us. Rami touched my arm.
Are you okay?
I squeezed my eyes shut.
Yes.
Remembering that humans usually want more than that from other humans, I pointed up to indicate the alarms.
I've got sensitive hearing.
Rami nodded sympathetically. The others were worried, but there hadn't been an announcement, and they could see our route in the feed from the port, which was still giving us an on-time arrival. The crew member tried to explain to Port Authority that there had been a catastrophic failure. The pilot bot was gone, and she didn't know why the shuttle was following its normal route and not slamming into the surface of the moon. Shuttle Sexsys tried to analyze Art and almost got itself deleted. I took over Shuttle Sexsys, turned off the alarms, and deleted the entire trip out of its memory. I made a suggestion to Art, and it sent an error code to Port Authority, which assigned us a new priority and switched our landing site from the public dock to the emergency services dock. Since the Killware had clearly been intended to destroy us en route, there might not be anybody waiting for us at our scheduled landing slot, but better safe than sorry. The feed was giving us a visual of the port, which was inside a cavern, carved out of the side of a mountain, surrounded by the towers of a debris deflection grid. An actual debris deflection system, as opposed to Art's concealed railgun or whatever it had. The lights of multiple levels of port installation gleamed in the darkness, and smaller shuttles whizzed out of our way as we curved down toward the Port Authority's beacon. Mara was watching me with narrowed eyes. When the notice of changed landing site came through the feed, she leaned forward.
You know what happened?
Fortunately, I remembered that nobody expected me to be compelled to answer all questions immediately, one of the benefits to being an augmented human security consultant rather than a construct sec unit. We'll talk about it when we're off the shuttle. Art landed us in the Port Authority slot. We left the shuttle crew member trying to explain to the emergency techs what had happened as they connected their diagnostic equipment. Art was already gone, deleting any evidence of its presence, and the Shuttle Sexsys was confused, but at least still intact, unlike the poor pilot bot. Emergency services personnel and bots milled around the small embarkation zone. I managed to herd my clients through and out onto the clear enclosed walkway to the main port before anyone thought to try to stop them. I had already downloaded a map from the public feed and was testing the robustness of the security system. The walkway had a view of the cavern, with the multiple levels of landing slots and a few shuttles coming and going. At the far end were the big haulers for the mining installations. Security seemed to be intermittent, and based on the level of paranoia or whatever contractor operated in the territory you were passing through. That could be both an advantage and an interesting challenge. The Transit Ring's public info feed had warned that a lot of humans apparently carried weapons here, and there were no screening scans. We came out into a central hub, which had a high clear dome allowing a view of the cavern arching overhead, with lights trained on it to show off the colorful mineral veins. I scanned to make sure nothing was recording us, and stopped Rami. T and the others looked up at me.
The person you're going to meet with just tried to kill you.
Rami blinked. Mara went wide-eyed, and Tapan drew a breath to argue.
The shuttle was infected with Killware. It destroyed the bot pilot. I was in contact with a friend who was able to use my augmented feed to download a new pilot module. That's the only reason we didn't crash. A module could have put the shuttle into a safe orbit, but wouldn't have been sophisticated enough to manage the tricky, flawless landing. I was hoping they wouldn't realize that.
But the other passengers, the crew person, they would have killed everybody?
If you were the only casualties, the motive would have been obvious. I could see it was starting to sink in. You should return to the transit ring immediately. I checked the public feed for the schedule. There was a public shuttle leaving in 11 minutes. Tlacy wouldn't have time to trace my clients and infect it if they moved fast. Tapan and Mero looked at Rami. T hesitated, then set her jaw.
I'll stay. You two go.
No, we're not leaving you. We're in this together.
Rami's face almost crumpled, their support weakening to her when the prospect of death hadn't. T controlled herself and nodded tightly. T looked at me.
We'll stay.
You can't keep this meeting. They lost track of you when the shuttle didn't dock at its scheduled slot. You have to keep that advantage.
But we have to have the meeting. We can't get our work back otherwise.
Tlacy has no intention of giving you back your work. She lured you here to kill you.
Yes, but...
Oh, Tapan, just hush and listen.
Then what should we do?
Technically, this didn't have to be my problem. I was here now, and didn't need them anymore. I could lose them in the crowd and leave them to deal with their murderous ex-employer all on their own. But they were clients. Even after I'd hacked my governor module, I'd found it impossible to abandon clients I hadn't chosen. I'd made an agreement with these clients as a free agent. I couldn't leave. I kept my psi internal. You can't meet Tlacy at her compound. You'll pick the spot. It wasn't ideal, but it would have to do. My clients picked a food service place in the center of the port. It was on a raised platform, the tables and chairs arranged in groups, with displays floating above advertising various port and contractor services and information about the different mining installations. The displays also functioned as camera and recording chaff, so the place was a popular spot for business meetings. Rami, Tapan, and Mero had picked a table and were nervously fiddling with the drinks they had ordered from one of the bots drifting around. They had put in a comm call to Tlacy and were waiting for a representative to arrive. The security system in this public area was more sophisticated than Shuttle Sexus, but not by much. I had gotten in far enough to monitor emergency traffic and get views from the cameras focused on our immediate area. I felt pretty confident. I was standing 3 meters from the table, pretending to look at the ad displays and examining the map of the installations I had found in the public feed. There were plenty of abandoned dig sites marked, as well as tube accesses that went off into apparently nowhere. Ganaka Pit had to be one of them.
There must be an accessible information archive. Ganaka Pit's existence would not be deleted from it. The absence would be too obvious to researchers.
That depended on the research. Someone working on strange synthetics would obviously care about where they were found, but not necessarily about what company had dug them up, or why that company wasn't around anymore. But whoever had removed Ganaka Pit from the map would have been trying to obscure its existence from casual journalists, not erase it entirely from the memory of the population. Art's data had been correct. There were other SEC units on this moon. The map showed logos from 5 bond companies that offered SEC units, including my company, at 7 of the most remote installations where exploration for mineral veins was still ongoing. They would be there to defend the claim from theft and to keep the miners and other employees from injuring each other as part of the bond guarantee. No SEC units would travel through the port except as inert cargo in transport boxes or repair cubicles, so that was one less thing to worry about. My altered configuration might fool humans and augmented humans, but not other SEC units. If they saw me, they would alert their SEC systems. They wouldn't have a choice. And they wouldn't want one. If anybody knows how dangerous rogue SEC units are, it's other SEC units. That was when I felt the ping. I told myself I'd mistaken it for something else. Then it happened again. That's a big uh-oh. Something was looking for SEC units. Not just bots, specifically SEC units. And it was close. It hadn't pinged me directly, though if I had had a working governor module, I would have been compelled to answer. 3 humans approached the table my clients were sitting at.
That's Tlacy. I didn't expect her to come herself.
2 of the humans were large and male, and one of them lengthened his stride to reach the table. Mero had seen him, and from the look on her face, I knew this was not going to be a greeting. Scan showed he was armed. I moved between him and the table. I put a hand up at his chest height. Stop. On most contracts, this was as far as I was allowed to go with a human until they made physical contact.
but you'd be surprised how often this works if you do it right. Though that was when I was wearing my armor with the helmet opaqued. Standing here in normal human clothes with my human face showing made it a whole different thing. But it wasn't like he could hurt me by hitting me, and he hadn't drawn his weapon yet. I could have torn through him like tissue paper. He didn't know that, but he must have been able to tell from my face that I wasn't afraid of him. I checked the security camera to see what I looked like, and decided I looked bored. That wasn't unusual, because I almost always looked bored while I was doing my job. It was just impossible to tell when I was in my armor.
Who the fuck are you?
My clients had shoved their chairs back and were on their feet.
This is our security consultant.
He stepped back and glanced uncertainly at the other two, the second male human bodyguard and Talasi, who was an augmented human female. I dropped my arm but didn't move. I had clear shots at all three of them, but that was a worst-case scenario. For me, at least. Humans can miss a lot of little clues, but me being able to fire energy weapons from my arms would be something of a red flag. I had diverted just enough attention to scan the security camera feeds for whatever it was that had pinged me. I caught an image on a camera across the public area, near one of the entrance tunnels. The figure standing near the edge of the seating area didn't match what I was expecting to see, and I had to review it again before I understood. It wasn't wearing armor, and its physical configuration didn't match SecUnit standard. It had a lot of hair, silver with blue and purple on the ends, pulled back and braided like Tapan's, but in a much more complicated pattern. Its facial features were different from mine, but all units' features are different, assigned randomly based on the human cloned material that used to make our organic parts. Its arms were bare, and there was no metal showing, and no gun ports. This was not a sec unit. I was looking at a sex bot.
That is not the official designation.
The official designation is comfort unit, but everybody knows what that means. Sex bots aren't allowed to walk around in human areas without orders, any more than murder bots. Someone must have sent it here. Art poked me hard enough to make me twitch. I snapped out of it and ran my recording back a little to catch up on what was happening. Talasi had stepped forward.
And just why do you need a security consultant?
Rami took a breath. I hit Ter feed, secured a private connection between Ter, Tapan, and Mero.
Don't answer that. Don't mention the attempt on the shuttle. Just stick to business.
It was an impulse. Talasi had come here expecting an angry confrontation. That was why she had brought armed bodyguards. We had an advantage now. We weren't dead, and they were off balance, and we wanted to keep them that way. Rami tapped my feed in acknowledgement.
We're here to talk about our files.
Keep going. Don't even let them sit down.
Deleting our personal work was not part of our employment contract. But we'll agree to your proposal that we return our signing bonus in exchange for our files.
On the security cameras, I watched the sex bot turn and leave the public area via the tunnel directly behind it.
The entire bonus?
We opened an account with Umro to hold the funds. We can transfer it to you as soon as you give us the files.
Talasi's jaw moved as she spoke in her private feed. The two bodyguards eased back. Talasi stepped over and took a chair at my client's table. After a moment, Rami sat down, and Tapan and Mero followed suit. I kept part of my attention on the negotiation and went back to the public feed. I started pulling historical data, looking for any irregular activity around the time of my contract here. While my clients were talking, and while I sorted through the data with Art peering over my shoulder again, I was watching the security cameras. I noted two more potential threats enter the area. Both were augmented humans. I had noted three potential threats already sitting at adjacent tables. All three exhibited a curious lack of attention toward the confrontation occurring near the center of the seating area. The other humans and augmented humans in the immediate area had watched it with open or surreptitious curiosity. Art poked me.
I see it.
The search had turned up a series of notices posted around the right time frame. There were warnings that changes in shipments of raw materials and supplies to outlying installations would cause diversions in the passenger tube routes. The tube was a small-scale transit system that took passengers around the port and service centers and had private lines going out to the closer mining installations. Later notices mentioned a new route that had been constructed to compensate for the diversion. That was it. Reading between the lines, you could see that the service contractors had to build a new tube route to bypass the tunnels that had led to a mining installation that had abruptly closed. That had to be the site of Ganaka Pit. Other pit closures had been accompanied by local interest articles and excessive social feed interest in bankruptcy filings and the effect of the associated service companies. There was nothing like that about this closure. Someone had paid to have those postings deleted from the public feed. The conversation was concluding. Talasi stood up, nodded to my clients, and walked away from the table. Rami's expression was a grimace of doubt. Mero looked grim, and Tapan somewhere between confused and angry. I closed the search and stepped over to the table.
It was a bad idea to come here.
She said tomorrow.
It's more lies. She isn't going to give us the files. She could have done it here if she was going to do it. She could have done it over the comm while we were in the transit ring.
Mero looked up at me.
I wasn't sure I believed you about the shuttle, but now...
I was keeping track of my potential threat list on the security cameras. We need to go. We'll talk about this somewhere else. As we left, one potential threat got up to follow us. I tapped Art to keep an eye on the others, just in case they weren't innocent bystanders so deep in their feeds they really hadn't noticed anything. I had marked a few possible routes on the station map, and my favorite one was through a pedestrian tunnel that curved out away from the main living areas. There were various accesses along it leading to different tube stations, but it was not a popular route. I tapped Rami's feed and told her to take it toward the interchange where the largest hotel was.
We can't afford that one.
You won't be staying there.
The brochure on the public feed promised a high-security lobby area and a fast tube access to the public shuttle slots. We reached the tunnel and started down it. It was close to 10 meters wide and 4 meters high, well lit enough for walking down the center, but the sides were shadowy with darkened branching tunnels. There were security cameras, but the system monitoring them was not sophisticated. The company would have shit itself over the possible danger to bonded clients and the missed opportunity to data mine conversations. There were other humans in the tunnel. Some miners in coveralls and jackets with logos from the various installations, but most were in civilian work clothes, either techs or workers for the support companies. They moved quickly and stayed in groups.
Just keep walking. Don't stop. I'll meet you in the lobby.
I dropped back into one of the darker branching tunnels. My clients kept moving and didn't look back at me, though I could tell Tapan wanted to. On the cameras, I watched potential threat slash new target make his way up the tunnel, walking quickly. He was joined by two new humans, now designated Target 2 and Target 3. They passed me, and I came out of the tube access and followed at a distance. I scanned them for energy weapons and found no readings. All three targets wore jackets and pants with deep side pockets. I marked seven locations where knives or extendable batons could be carried. When they caught sight of my clients, the targets slowed down, but continued to reduce the distance between them. I knew they were probably reporting to someone on their feed, asking for instructions. Whoever it was didn't have control of the security cameras, at least not yet. I followed, watching the targets through my eyes, through the security cameras, watching myself to make sure I wasn't drawing attention, that no one was following me. Art kept quiet, though I could tell it was interested in watching me work. Then the last group of miners between me and the targets turned into a tube access. We were in a bend of the tunnel, and there was no one between my clients and the next bend some 50 meters ahead, and the security cameras showed me the tunnel was empty behind me. I needed to get this over with. I turned into the tube access behind the miners. I stopped at the top of the tube access while the miners boarded the capsule. On security camera view, Target 2's jaw moved, indicating that he was speaking subvocally in his feed. Then, the camera's feed cut off. I turned the corner back into the tunnel and started to run. It was a calculated risk, as I couldn't move at top speed without revealing I wasn't human. But I managed to arrive just as Target 1 reached Rami and grabbed the sleeve of her jacket. I broke his arm and slammed an elbow into his chin, then swung him into Target 2, who had turned toward me with the knife he had been approaching Mero with. Target 2 accidentally, I'm guessing here, maybe they just didn't care for each other, stabbed Target 1. Target 2 staggered sideways, and I dropped Target 1, and broke Target 2's kneecap. Target 3 had time to lift his baton, and now hit me across the left side of my head and shoulder, which, granted, annoyed me a little. But I've had haulerbots hit me harder than that by accident. I blocked the second blow with my left arm, snapped his collarbone with one punch, and smashed his hip with another. He was lucky I wasn't a lot annoyed. All three targets were on the floor, and two was the only one who was still conscious, though he was curled up. I turned to my clients. Rami had a hand over her mouth. Mero was frozen in place, staring, and Tapan had thrown her hands up in the air.
Go to the hotel, wait for me in the lobby. Don't run. Walk.
Mero came out of shock first. She nodded hard, caught Rami's arm, and poked Tapan's shoulder. Rami turned to go.
Security?
I knew what Tapan was asking. They told somebody to cut the cameras. That's why you need to leave now. The public feed up on the transit ring had said there was no overall security, but the security companies for the different service installations and contractors were supposed to take responsibility for the public areas nearest their territory. This spot had obviously been carefully calculated to be out of range of any immediate assistance by whoever had helped the targets by cutting the camera feed. I wasn't expecting an immediate response, but we did need to move relatively quickly.
Come on.
I turned to the target that was still conscious and pressed down on the artery in his neck until he passed out. I started away, walking at a normal pace. I was deep enough into the camera system to delete the temporary storage on the cameras ahead of and behind the deactivated camera. That would help obscure the issue for anybody trying to figure out what had happened. But Talacy had seen me, and she would know. I was just hoping the kids listened to me this time. The hotel lobby was built on various platforms overlooking a hollow sculpture of an open chasm filled with a giant crystalline structure growing out of the walls. From the notations in the feed, it was supposed to be educational, but I had serious doubts about whether the mines on Ravi Hyrule looked like that, especially after the mining bots got to them. My clients were on the same platform as the check-in area, near the railing around the sculpture's artificial chasm, sitting on a round, backless couch thing that looked more like a decorative object than furniture. I sat on my heels in front of them.
They were going to kill us.
Again?
I believed you about the shuttle. I believed you.
But now you've seen it. I knew what T meant. There was a huge difference between knowing something happened and seeing the reality of it, even for sec units.
Yeah, we were idiots. Talacy was never going to let us give her the bonus for our files.
No, she wasn't. Rami nudged Marrow.
You were right.
I didn't want to be.
We're wrecked.
Rami put an arm around T'Pon.
We're alive.
T looked at me.
What do we do now?
Let me get you out of here. I took them to the public shuttle slots first, then past that section to the private docks. Checking the schedules, Art had already scanned a likely shuttle. It was privately owned, but the frequency of its trips to and from the transit ring suggested an entrepreneur who was offering private rides for hard currency. This proved to be accurate, and it would allow Rami, Marrow, and T'Pon to leave without their employment vouchers being scanned. It would probably have been safe at this point to put them on a public shuttle, as long as there was no advance notice of which one they were taking. Kilware couldn't travel over the feed to infect a shuttle. There were too many protections in this place. Whoever had planned to kill us on arrival had had to deliver the Kilware directly, through a data port actually inside the shuttle's cockpit. But I'm programmed to be paranoid. This private shuttle had the benefit not only of anonymity, but of an augmented human pilot who would be in place in case something interfered with the bot pilot. Plus, Art, who was already cozying up to said bot pilot and would be keeping an eye on the shuttle during the brief trip. Art's idea of cozying being somewhat overbearing. I had already had to intervene once to assure the bot pilot that the big mean transport had promised not to hurt it.
You're not going with us?
Rami stood in the small embarkation area. The private docks were dingy and small compared to the Port Authority's docks, with stains on the metal partitions and some of the lights up in the rocky ceiling broken or dim. Humans and a few bots were moving along the walkway above us, and I kept an eye on both approaches through the security cameras. The shuttle was already loaded into its slot, and its hatch was open, with a small augmented human standing on the ramp to take the money. Six other passengers had already boarded, and it was taking a large portion of my self-control not to just scoop up my clients and carry them on board. I still need to do some research here. I'll go back to the transit ring when I'm finished.
How do we pay you? I mean, can we still afford you after everything?
I'll check my social feed profile on the ring. Send a note to me there, and I'll find you when I get back.
It's just, I know we can't stay here, but I can't give up either. Our work.
Sometimes people do things to you that you can't do anything about. You just have to survive it and go on. They all stared at me. It made me nervous, and I immediately switched my view to the nearest security camera so I could watch us from the side. I had said it with more emphasis than I intended, but it was just the way things were. I wasn't sure why it had such an impact on them. Maybe I sounded like I knew what I was talking about. Maybe it was the two murder attempts. Then Marrow nodded, her mouth set in a grim line. She and Rami looked at each other, and Rami nodded sadly.
We need to get back to the others, figure out what to do next. Look for the next assignment.
We'll start over. We did it once. We can do it again.
T'Pon looked like she wanted to protest, but was too depressed to argue. They wanted to say goodbye a lot and thank me, and I herded them up the ramp while they were doing it, and watched Rami pay for their passage with the currency card that the crew person presented to an interface. Then they were aboard. The hatch closed, and the shuttle's feed signaled post-boarding mode, waiting for its clearance to leave. I went back down the access, heading for the walkway. I needed to get the tube over to the area where the tunnel diversion had occurred and start searching for Ganaka Pit. It was a relief to have my clients headed back to safety, but it felt odd to be on my own again, working for no one except myself. I went to the tube access and boarded the next capsule to stop. Each capsule had seating for 20 people, plus an overhead rack to hold onto. The gravity was adjusted inside the cab to compensate for the motion. I took a seat with the 7 humans already aboard.
The shuttle has launched. I'll monitor your feed, but much of my attention will be on it.
I sent an acknowledgement. I was trying to isolate why I felt so uneasy. Trapped in a small enclosed space with humans? Check. Missing my drones? Check. My giant asshole research transport too busy to complain at? Check. Needed to actually focus on what I was doing so couldn't watch media? Check. But that wasn't what it was. I hadn't done a good job for my clients. I had had the opportunity and had failed. As a SEC unit, I had the responsibility for my clients' safety, but no authority to do anything other than make suggestions and try to use the company regulations inbuilt in a SEC system to override the humans' suicidal stupidity and homicidal impulses. This time, I had responsibility and authority and had still failed. I told myself they were alive. I just hadn't gotten their property back, which had actually not been a part of the job they hired me for. It didn't help. I got off the tube on the far end of its circuit. This was a warren of tunnels that, according to the map, led off to various private tube accesses for the distant mining pits. Only a few humans got off the tube here, all heading immediately down the tunnel for the nearest tube interchange. I went the other direction. I spent the next hour hacking cameras and security barriers, slipping in and out of half-completed tunnels, many with warning markers for air quality. Finally, I located one that showed evidence of past use as a mining access. It was big enough for the largest hauler bots, and the cameras and lights were down. As I went along it, climbing over rock and metal debris, I felt the public feed drop out. I stopped and checked Art's comm, but it was only picking up static. I didn't think it was any deliberate attempt to block my connection to the rest of the installation. I'd experienced that type of outage before, and this felt different. I think this tunnel was so deep below the surface that the comm and the feed needed powered relays to get out, and those weren't functioning anymore. Something ahead still had power, because my feed was picking up intermittent signals, all automated warnings. I kept going. I had to open another security barrier, but past it found a cargo tube access and managed to push the sliding door open. A small passenger tube was still there. It hadn't been used in a long time. Long enough for the water and scattered trash on the carpet to combine and grow something squishy. I made my way up to the front compartment where the manual emergency controls were. There was still power in the batteries, though not much. It had been left here, forgotten, slowly dying in the darkness as the hours ticked away. Not that I was feeling morbid or anything. I checked to make sure there was no active security attached to it, and got it started. It lifted off the ground and started down the tunnel into darkness, following its last programmed route. I sat down on the bench to wait.